Over the next year, President Biden wants to bring in 10 times more refugees than the number former President Trump allowed in last year. Is that even possible? NPR's Tom Gelton has a look at this country's capacity to accommodate refugees.
America's reputation as a welcoming country has come in part through its embrace of people seeking to escape war and persecution. People like Pathy and Akastella Mulema, who came here from the Central African Republic. Pathy Mulema describes the day he was attacked in his home by an anti-government rebel.
He cut me, my head here and here. The blood come all the face, I'm gone.
He knocked you out?
Yeah, I don't know nothing.
Pathy's wife Akastella that day was visiting her sister.
The rebel come start to shoot the gun. Boom, 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 boom. Big, big one.
She had no idea what had happened to her husband, Pathy, nor their two daughters, ages 5 and 6, who had been with him.
My neighbor, she helped me, so now I go to the hospital. I find Pathy over there.
But not the girls, and going back to look for them was out of the question.
Never come again. From the hospital, we leave and we run away.
Running for their lives, not knowing whether their daughters were alive or dead. They ended up in a refugee camp in Ghana. This was in 2013. The Mulemas spent 5 years there under miserable conditions with little or no shelter.
Sometimes no food.
And where did you sleep?
You need to be careful for the snake.
Snake, yeah.
Insect.
Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Scorpions and snakes. The Mulemas are now in Newark, Delaware, with an apartment of their own. They sit today on a bench outdoors holding their one-year-old daughter. She was born here. Another daughter, 7, sits alongside. She was born in the camp in Ghana. Only after arriving here 3 years ago did they learn their older daughters had indeed survived the war and were themselves in a refugee camp. They're now waiting their turn to come and rejoin their parents. It's because of stories like this that America is still seen as a generous country. The Mulemas were sponsored by Jewish Family Services of Delaware.
They come with maybe 2 suitcases each. They get in a van, and then they arrive at Jewish Family Services.
Rosie Crosby helped with the arrangements.
And that same night, we bring them to their apartment, which is fully stocked, fully furnished. But you can imagine, how do you flush the toilet? How do you use the dishwasher? How do I lock my door?
To Akastella Mulema, it seemed their sponsors were on hand for their every need.
They give you the phone, they give us some money, clothes, some food. They show us everything, how to take the bus. If we need help, they call them.
Resettling a refugee family is a huge undertaking. It depends on dozens of people helping out, some professional staff, many volunteers. In Delaware, Jewish Family Services partnered with a local Christian church, Calvary Baptist.
We had certain individuals that were responsible for carrying the family to their doctor's appointments.
Marsha Williamson coordinated the church volunteers who worked with the Mulema family.
We had a team able to assist them in reviewing documents that were coming into the home. We had other individuals who were available just to get them to the grocery store and to take care of some of the day-to-day responsibilities.
In 2016, the last year of the Obama presidency, the United States resettled 85,000 refugees in this manner. But under Trump, the resettlement program was nearly shut down. Last year, fewer than 12,000 refugees were admitted, the smallest number in the history of the U.S. refugee program. Across the country, 1 out of 3 resettlement sites closed. Jewish Family Services of Delaware was informed it would not be assigned any more refugee families. Mark Hetfield is the president of HIAS, the Jewish refugee agency that oversees Jewish Family Services of Delaware.
They continued to serve the people who had already arrived, but they were no longer able to serve new cases. So that technically is referred to as being zeroed out.
The Biden administration now wants to ramp the program up again quickly, admitting up to 62,500 refugees in the next 5 months alone. Hetfield says that goal is not remotely realistic.
Nobody is expecting us to resettle 62,500 refugees this year. The Trump administration really did some serious damage to the infrastructure of the resettlement program. Also, obviously, the pandemic put some really serious restrictions on.
IOS is one of nine agencies the government has tasked with the work of refugee resettlement. Six are faith-based. They are motivated by a scriptural imperative to welcome the stranger. And given how this work relies on charity, congregations are vital players. But these days, all the refugee agencies are in a weakened state. Krish Vignaraja runs the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service.
Truthfully, our refugee resettlement system has been on life support for the past few years.
On life support. Because of the cutback under Trump, there's much to do before more refugees can start coming in.
Reopening offices that were closed, rehiring staff we lost, regaining the crucial institutional knowledge, which in some staff represented literally decades of experience.
Landlords willing to rent below market or merchants willing to sell at a discount have to be recontacted or new ones found. A renewed government commitment to refugee admissions isn't enough. Faith communities left on the sidelines will have to be re-energized. Back in Newark, Delaware, there's not much capacity to accommodate new refugee families.
For me, it is hard to imagine helping more than one family at a time, just with the size of our congregation.
Corey Fields, the Calvary Baptist pastor, says his church has all it can handle with the Malema family.
Our church would probably have trouble doing more right now or immediately, but I will say this, there are many other churches that need to do their part. Many churches that need to do their part.
The United States was founded as a nation of ideals with almost a religious obligation to welcome the tired and homeless. The country has met the commitment before. It's now challenged to do so again, hard though it may be. Tom Jelton, NPR News.